This is segment one of the Teens Talk Truth program, Drugs and Alcohol, Volume 1. To hear the continuation of this program in segment two, go to teenstalktruth.com and visit the online store. Hi, this is Lisa Smith Henderson, your host for Teens Talk Truth, and there are a few things I'd like to let you know. The names of these teenagers have been changed to protect their privacy, and that the opinions expressed by the teens on this show are their own. They don't in any way indicate acceptance or promotion of underage drinking or drug use. As the host of Teens Talk Truth and as a parent, I am adamantly opposed to both. However, I deeply appreciate the honesty that these teens are bringing to the table to help parents see into their world. If you'd like more information on Teens Talk Truth, go to www.teenstalktruth.com. This volume is dedicated to the discussion of drugs and alcohol. And our first guest is Elle. Here's my first question for you. Is there any particular, I know this is a kind of a dumb question, but I actually believed this at one point in my life. There was some sort of magic phrase that I could say that would keep my child from drinking or smoking pot.
There is no magic saying. Unfortunately, nothing really clicks. The just say no commercials. My friends and I laugh about that. Just say no. You know,
Parents, the anti-drug.
It's a nice way to think that kids love their parents and things like that. And it's not that we don't. It's just that curiosity kicks in, peer pressure kicks in. You can't stop kids from doing drugs or drinking.
Well, okay, there's got to be something. What about, like, your early morals and values? Let's say that you were a church-going child and you'd had good values instilled in. Does any of this come into play when the time comes, shall I drink, shall I try a drug?
There are rare cases where church-going kids or the really good kids, the kids with values and morals coming out the wazoo, you know, stay away from drugs and things like that. But it's a rare case. And with other kids, there is a time where that kicks into play where it's, I don't want to do this because it doesn't feel right to me. And sometimes kids do make that choice. And a lot of times they don't. And when you're in a party situation, for example, and everybody else is doing it, and you're the only person that is not drinking or doing drugs, it's a very hard situation to be in. A lot of kids give in and say, well, I'll just have one drink, or I'll just, you know, take one hit. And it ends up being 5 hits or 10 drinks or whatever, and you end up in a situation that you didn't plan on being to begin with.
Okay, now, does it make a difference? And I know some of this sounds sort of naive on the part of a parent, but does it make a difference if the people you're hanging out with don't drink, do drugs, or the people that you do? Because you're talking about being the one person in the group that doesn't.
Right. If you have friends that stay away from drinking and drugs like that, things like that, and are very, very good kids, I mean, they are known as the good kid, the goody two-shoes, you won't do drugs or drink because it's embarrassing to be with people that don't do that, in the same way that it's embarrassing to be with people that do that and you're the only one not doing it.
Okay, so as a parent, let's say I have a good idea that you've got a group of friends that are drinkers. Do I forbid you from seeing these people? Do I talk to you more? What's the best thing for a parent to do in a situation like this?
Forbidding your child from seeing his or her friends is not the answer, because as we see from Romeo and Juliet, the forbidden stuff is more fun. It's a lot more exciting to be hanging out with friends you're not supposed to be hanging out with and doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing. So, and there are very few kids who don't drink and who don't do drugs. There are a whole lot of kids that sometimes go to parties and, you know, and occasionally will do stuff that's not preferred by their parents. And I think those are the more balanced kids. They've had situations that they've been in, so they know how to handle it, and hopefully they are not heavy drinkers or addicts or anything like that. So they have an idea of what happens. They know what they like. They know what to do. And if you can find friends for your kid that have that kind of balance, that are not partiers and are not necessarily really good, because there are very few kids that are the really, really good kids.
So, okay, and let's clarify this. When you're talking about drugs, are you mostly talking about pot?
Yeah, although cocaine is on the new, it's becoming the new pot very slowly, but it's coming in.
What about, okay, let's talk about heavy drugs for a minute. What about heroin? Have you ever seen heroin used?
No.
Have your friends ever done?
No.
Okay. So heroin's not in. Cocaine's coming back. Good night. That's just bad news. But what about ecstasy?
Well, I had a conversation with my friends the other day about what serious drugs, what they are and what you would never try and could never imagine doing. And crystal meth is big in outer areas, as in if you're in a city, crystal meth is not as big. But if you're on the outskirts, it's easier to get to. People are making it. It's not hard to really get a hold of.
So just because you live far out in the suburbs or even maybe in a rural, like a little town, you're not safer.
No. Not at all. Not at all. And all the kids I know that do more serious drugs such as cocaine, or even ecstasy, they live out of the city in smaller towns where it's easier to get to, or they live in the really nice areas.
So basically what you're talking is you're looking at rural or more than middle upper class.
Right.
Because what? Cash?
They have money to spend. They have nothing to do. Most of their parents give money, are constantly giving money, and possibly are not there. They're doctors. They're lawyers. They're not at home.
So they're too busy.
Right. They aren't at home. So it's easier for kids to come into the house with drugs, do the drug, and then, you know, leave and go out and hang out with friends.
And there's nobody to check up on.
Exactly.
Because the parents are at work.
Exactly. But you don't want to be overprotective.
This concludes segment one of the Alcohol and Drugs Volume 1 program. In the next segment, Nina talks about the prevalence of pot in high school, what questions to ask your teen, and how to talk to them in a way they can really hear you. Listen to this and the other segments by visiting the online store at teenstalktruth.com.